Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart. I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart. I will pray like David prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will pray like David prayed. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David prayed. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David sang. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David prayed. I will pray, I will pray, I will dance like David danced.
Well, good morning, church. It's so lovely to see you. Myself and my husband are back from our lovely holiday in Dominican Republic. So welcome to you all here today in person, but also online. It is so lovely to see you. And it's quite warm, so please make sure that if you do need a drink, I think there's either drinks out the back, and please stay afterwards for teas and coffees and some delicious biscuits. My favourite is a bourbon. Don't know if anyone else is a custard cream fan or what we've got going on out there, but please stay for fellowship afterwards. So I get to ask a very important question. Are there any, for the young people, birthdays? Have we had any birthdays in the last week? Any upcoming? Any birthdays? Aww. Got really excited. Any of our adults, have we had any birthdays in the last week or any coming up this week? Any birthdays? Any wedding anniversaries? Oh, congratulations, guys. How many years? 30! Yay, amazing! Fantastic. Nathan and I have actually just celebrated our first one. We made it. We made it through. With God's grace. Oh, so I don't get to uncover the birthday box. Well, that's a shame. I'm now going to hand you over to Nathan. You all know who he is. He's our lovely minister, my lovely husband.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Very good to be here. Good to be back in sunny England, in Kent, and more importantly, in Sittingbourne. Very good to be back. Good to see you all. I've missed you all. I really have, and I pray that you are keeping well, and I look forward to catching up with you all after the service. Please don't rush away. I want to personally greet you all, and if I can't get to you today, I certainly will look forward to getting to you at least throughout the week or this evening. I want to personally greet each and every one of you. I love you all, and it's a privilege to serve as your minister, as your pastor, and I don't take that lightly. It's a privilege to serve you. Amen. Amen. We're so grateful today to have Reverend David Gordon with us today, and he happens to be my dad. And for those of you who know how much I love old hymns, and some of you think, well, how does this guy love so much old hymns? Well, you have him to blame for that. He's responsible for that. And even yesterday we were catching up at home and just reminiscing over some of the old music that we used to listen to as a kid. And growing up, we came across an album that we used to fondly listen to in 1998. And it was just brought back so much memories as me, my mum and dad were listening to those music. It's such a blessing when children can grow up and be exposed to the gospel and the good news of Jesus from a young age. And I'm so blessed even for our children who are here today. Look at them. They're beautiful. And they're exposed to the good news of Jesus right here in this church. And we give God thanks for that, don't we? Amen. We are continuing our series that we've been going through for the past several weeks now. And we're talking about overcoming distance. And this again was a response to questions that I received. Nathan, what happens, you know, I'm a believer, but I'm going through a season in my life where I just feel distant from God. It just feels like my relationship with God is going through a season where it just feels as if God is far away and I feel isolated. I feel alone. And of course, over the past several weeks, we've been looking at various different issues and topics that can cause distance. We've looked at sin. We've looked at a whole host of problems and how we can overcome these things. Well, today, the theme we're looking at is prayer. How do we overcome distance in our prayer lives? And we look forward to David Gordon sharing with us today on that topic. But I want to call your attention to Psalm 5 as we consider these words from the psalmist. It says, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." Amen. Beautiful, beautiful words from the psalmist. In the morning, I am crying out to God. I am reaching out to God. And not only am I crying out to him, but he goes on to say that I am expecting God to answer me. There's a difference between just praying, but our prayer lives takes on a whole different meaning when we're expecting God to answer our prayers. How many of you here today are expecting God to answer prayer? Amen. So I want to encourage you today, as we go throughout this service and we think about our prayer lives, individually and collectively, I want you to be encouraged today. God does not only hear prayer, but he has the power and the ability to answer our prayers. Amen. So let's worship him together this morning with expectation, because we are not serving and worshiping a dead God. He is alive and he is well. And our worship together this morning will not be in vain. We are going to approach the throne of grace, and there we will find mercy and grace for our time of need. Let's pray as we come to a time of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being together this morning in your house. We thank you for allowing us to meet together, and we thank you, Lord, that your presence is already here. And we just say, Lord, come and have your way. Lead and guide us this morning through your Holy Spirit. We thank you that, as the psalmist declares, that you are the great God that not only hears our prayers, not only hears our cries for help, not only hears, Lord, our petitions to heaven, but you also have the ability and the power to answer our prayers. So, Father, we ask now that you would just meet every need in this house today. Lord, there may be various needs, Lord, various situations, various problems that your people are going through this morning. But we ask, Lord, that as we leave this place today, that we would know that you are the great God who can sort out those situations, that can solve those problems, and we can have expectation in our hearts that you will answer our prayers. So come now, Holy Spirit, take your rightful place. And as we worship you, we pray that you'll be pleased with our offering of worship. Forgive our sins and our trespasses. And we ask now that you would just fill our hearts with your presence. In your presence there is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So fill us up now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand back over to Anna and the worship team.
If you would like to stand and join us, you're more than welcome. If you want to stay seated, you're also more than welcome. Just let the Holy Spirit guide us.
and we long to worship him. Amen. Today is the eve of our children and young people going back to school this week. And we want to send them off in our prayers, and we want to cover them in our prayers and commit them to God to keep them safe this academic year. So I'm going to invite all of the children to join me. If the team at the back can just put a block on the stream so that we can just protect their privacy. So all the children, please come down to the front. All children going back to school this week, all young people going off to college or university, and also any teachers, school teachers, please come and join us. If you work in a school, if you're part of the school staff, please come. We want to pray for you. Amen. Come on the stage. We'll find space. Come on. Look at all of our young people. Praise the Lord. Deacons who are here, if you could join me as well, we're going to lay hands and pray. And I want us to touch all of our young people, all of our staff. We're going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that they will be safe this academic year and that God will protect them. There's a lot going on out there. There's so much danger and they're exposed to so much each week. But the prayers of the righteous avail much. And God is going to keep them safe. The blood of the Lord Jesus is going to cover them. And we pray that you will have a wonderful school year, that you will grow, and not just grow in the curriculum, but that you will grow closer to the Lord. Amen. So not just school, Monday to Friday is important, but Sunday school is important as well, to learn more about Jesus as well. So let's pray. Church, if you could stand as well with me, we're going to all stretch our hands and we're going to pray God's protection. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray now your protection, your peace be upon all of these young people. Cover them, Lord Jesus. Keep them safe. Dispatch your guardian angels around them. Father, we don't want no harm, no evil to befall them. We ask that your blood would protect them and keep them safe. Father, we thank you that this school year will be blessed. We thank you that this school year, that you will cover them and you will keep them safe. Father, we thank you that nothing will happen that's untoward, that they, Lord, will matriculate and they will be blessed. We thank you for all that they will learn this year. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you for this blessed school year. We thank you for all the teachers. We thank you for all the school staff. We thank you for all that they do for you. And we pray and commit all the schools in this town. Oh, Lord, we pray that, Father, that they, Lord, would be receptive, not just to the curriculum, but also, Lord, open to the good news of Jesus. That there will be youth leaders and pastors that will have the opportunity to go and share the good news in those school assemblies. Oh, Father, we thank you for open doors now, that this academic year will be a year like no other, that they, Lord, would grow in the wisdom and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you for them, Lord. And as a church family, we are praying for them. We are praying each and every day for our young people. We know that the enemy wants to do bad things. We know that the enemy wants to expose them to all kinds of evil. But no weapon formed against them will prosper. No weapon formed against them will prosper. They will be blessed and they will be covered through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit them to you now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As they return back to their seats, we thank God for each and every one of them. Hallelujah. And with that, we are going to allow our children and young people now to depart for their groups. And we certainly pray that you will have a wonderful time learning more about the Lord. And we're praying also for our volunteers, the youth leaders. We pray that you will have a wonderful time in your groups. Be blessed now as you depart for your groups. Before Reverend David Gordon comes to share the word of the Lord with us this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to sing an old hymn of the church, but we're going to sing this song as our prayer to God this morning. And it's "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And as we sing this song today, I want you personally just to reflect on the words of this song. And whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you're going through, may the words of this song be a prayer to God that we can offer everything to God in prayer. And I want us not only to think about ourselves and our own situations, but let's also think about our neighbors. Let's think about our town. Let's think about the country. Let's think about the world. Everything to God in prayer. Amen. So if you want to remain seated or stand, that's absolutely fine. We're going to sing this as a prayer to God for our own lives, our families, but also for the world. What a friend we have in Jesus. And then after we sing this song, David Gordon is going to come and share God's word with us. Thank you.
Greetings, everyone. Amen. It's such a privilege to be in Sittingbourne worshiping with you again this Sunday morning. And let me take this opportunity to greet Reverend Nathan Gordon. Somehow he's acquainted with me. And his lovely wife, Anna. Oh, there she is over there. All the deacons and church leaders and the wonderful saints in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so we are here on this Sunday to serve the Lord in gladness. And I'm scanning the auditorium to pick up glad faces. Amen.
Amen.
But we're happy to be here today, are you?
Yes.
Are you really happy to be here?
Yes.
You know, Nathan mentioned about the fact that I do like old hymns and old songs. Well, that's true, I do. And before we go any further, I'd just like to share an old one with you. It says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains." It's a wonderful day when we realize how much we pay back to God and how much he gives back to us. Amen?
Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Yes. And sinners plunge. Oh.
And sinners plunge beneath.
Lose all
the guilty sin.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. What a wonderful thing. Amen. Thank you so much. In the book of Nehemiah, and I will be reading from the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. If I invite your attention to that portion of scripture, reading from verse 1, it contains 11 verses in the chapter. Not so much of a big chapter or a long chapter. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah, of course, was one of the exiled Jews that somehow, through the grace of God, found himself in a place of safety in Shushan. And there he was through the help of God, promoted to be the king's cupbearer. Now, a cupbearer in those days was a privileged position to be in because you were the trusted arm of the king at the time. So much as whenever wine was to be served to the king, the cupbearer would be the one who tasted the wine first to see whether that wine had been poisoned. So the king placed a lot of trust in the cupbearer. And Nehemiah was also that cupbearer. Not only was Nehemiah a cupbearer, but he was also one that reflected from whence he came. Taken out of Judah and now in Shushan, Nehemiah would oftentimes reflect on the folks that he left back in Judah and how they were getting on. And his concern grew day by day for them. So as we read from Nehemiah chapter 1, we find that in verse 1 it says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah." And it's amazing these names that they're given. Hakaliah means he who waits on the Lord. "And it came to pass in the month of Chislu." Now, in our modern day calendar, in our today's calendar, Chislu is the month that falls between November and December. "So in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah," note the name carefully, verse 2, "that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah," they came, "and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem." So there's two things that was on the mind of Nehemiah. He wanted to know how these brethren are. What's the state of mind? What's their condition? And what about Jerusalem? You know, how is things there? A sincere, in-depth concern for his brethren and the place from which he came from. But unfortunately, the news was not good. For in verse 3, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach." Not good. "The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire." What a bad report. He says, those in the province are in great affliction by their captives. And their captives were the Babylonians, who under Nebuchadnezzar ruled with a strong arm in bringing together his army to subdue the Jews and to bring them under their control. So here we now find that under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, he has managed to inflict reproach. He has broken down the walls of Jerusalem, and the gates he has burnt with fire. Now, as we all know, walls are a permanent part of a defense structure. you have to have walls to kind of protect your property, you know, against those looping things on the other side. Everybody know what I mean. I'm glad you don't. You know? But walls are that landmark that tells you that, okay, up to here belongs to me. Over there belongs to you. Am I right about that? And it stops intrusion onto your property, or helps to stop. But back in those days, a wall was not something, you know, a 3 foot tall device. It was a huge structure. And it was built primarily for defense purposes. And to have your wall broken down would leave your city very vulnerable indeed. But the walls were broken down. And not only were the walls broken down, but the gates, that huge structure, was burnt with fire. Verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words, when Nehemiah heard these words, that the news hit him like a brick. He says that I sat down and wept. It didn't say how long he wept for, but he wept. He was broken on hearing this news. And mourned certain days. And fasted. But here's the bit. And prayed before the God of heaven. And prayed before the God of heaven. So let's have a look at how Nehemiah dealt with this portion of bad news that inflicted him. He says that on hearing this, I sat down. When you get severe bad news, you know, sometimes they tell you, do you want to take a seat? Have a seat. Because the news that I'm about to give you is not good. So have a seat, please. And this is what Nehemiah, no one told him to have a seat. He took a seat. He fell down on a chair and wept and mourned. But in his emotional turmoil, he remembered one thing, and that is to pray to the God of heaven. We are drawn to God when we feel a tug in our lives for something greater than us. When we have exhausted everything that we can physically do of ourselves, then our mind steers us to a higher power that is greater than us. David once wrote, he says, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And man's mistake is not acknowledging that greater power that is higher than us. We are vulnerable as humans. We are limited in our capabilities. But God has all powers and is not restricted in any way. There is nothing that is too hard for God to do. And sometimes when we are clouded in our emotional state, it is very difficult to see God through our emotions. When a loved one of ours passes and our heart aches with the loss, and we're saddened by the hurt. It is difficult to see God through our mourning. But Nehemiah had to get a hold of himself. Or as my old school teacher used to say, get a grip of yourself, young man. When it seems that you're collapsing like a deck of cards, with the emotional driven circumstances that seems to captivate your mind and draw your attention from God and cause you to focus on what's wrong around you and not see what's good above you. Nehemiah fell down, wept, and moaned. But one thing he remembered, he prayed unto the God of heaven. And that prayer that he prayed was one of an in-depth prayer, because his heart was sorrowful. And he says from verse 5, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that they mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. He's praying on behalf of those children of Israel that have been brutally forced to go into captivity. And he's saying, Lord, remember them. And he says, on their behalf, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which they have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. A confession. It wasn't my fault. A true realm of confession comes with a self look at how we are on the inside. And as I've said before, you never publicly hear someone come up and say, I'm a wretched man. I have done such dastardly deeds. Openly. Because the human flesh that holds our soul rises up against such actions. Have you ever started out to do good and an evil thought comes in your mind? You went to pray and you fall asleep. You say, I'm going to read the Bible. And something catches your attention on telly. Nehemiah was focused on what he needed to do. And so on behalf of the children of Israel, Nehemiah kept on praying to God. In verse 8 he says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence. So God had already given the answer to Nehemiah, saying, this is what's going to happen. But because of what you are saying now, I am going to gather them back from the uttermost parts. Did this please Nehemiah? He carried on with his prayer. He says, yet will I gather them from the thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by great power. In other words, remember, Lord, that you brought these people out of Egypt, led by Moses. You brought them out. You were the one that was instrumental in their freedom from the captivity of the Egyptian rule. And you promised them that they would go to a land that is flowing with milk and honey, where they'll be able to worship you freely. And you have done so. So, Lord, I'm reminding you of what you have done for us. And now I'm asking you if you can, in our time of great turmoil, remember us and have mercy on us. David says, have mercy upon me, Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Repentance is a good thing. It is not a weak thing. It's a strong thing to do. When a man or a woman or a boy or a girl stands before God and repent, that is a strong thing to do. And Paul puts it quite clearly. He says, for I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the armor of flesh that holds us can sometimes fail us. And we have to be aware of this, of our vulnerability before God, and be ready to repent. One of the good traits about praying is our willingness to repent. To say, I'm sorry. We all know how difficult that is on a one-to-one amongst ourselves. I'm sorry, Paul. I said something to you last week which offended you. I'm really sorry. So we clothe it and dress it up. If I've offended you, I'm sorry. You see, we kind of hide behind that dressing. We don't want to be sorry, you know. We just said, if. Not, I'm sorry. I really am. So, whenever it comes time to recognize our frailty and our weaknesses, why is there such a struggle? Nehemiah was having none of that. He opened up himself to God. And he says, we, as a nation of Jews, are wrong. And have mercy upon us, Lord. And he reads on in verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. And that is a good part of the prayer, to be assured that God is hearing you. Because when you feel like God is not hearing you, there's a tendency to feel that the prayer is bouncing back on you. Like David in Psalms 13. He says, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Because sometimes when God remains silent, We panic. And like patriots of old in the scripture, they cry out to God. Do you know, I often say in the ministry that because we can turn the pages of the Bible and read stories after stories, it doesn't mean that it automatically happened like that. When Elijah was used mightily by God to chase out the false prophets, and that day he was instrumental in killing at least 400 of them, yet still he was by the brook Cherith pitying himself and saying, "Oh, why is it just only me that's serving God? Why is there no one else that wants to lift their hands up and praise God?" And God had to remind him, "You are not the only one. I've got many more of you." You can be in a crowded church and feel like you're alone. You are so burdened with your cares that you feel like there is no one else in the building apart from you. But when God opens your eyes and you see that there are many more like you, praising him and worshiping him. So Nehemiah prays on and he says, "The prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Read that last bit again. "For I," not am, but was. See the difference? I was, past tense. Not am anymore. So the privileged position that Nehemiah was in, he freely gave that up to show his gratitude and his love for his brothers who were brought into slavery in Judah. He says, "For I was." And the question that I have today is, how freely do we give up that which we love for Christ? What price can we put on salvation? An old song said, if salvation was a thing that money could buy, the rich would have it and the poor would die. But I'm so glad that Isaiah screamed that this salvation is without money and without price. It is for everyone. And it comes with the privilege of us knowing who God really is. He is not a fictitious character in the pages of a book. He is more than that. And when we take God out of the book and into our lives and develop a relationship with him, then we realize that the God that we serve is more than enough. More than enough. So let me bring this sermon to a close in saying this. Yes, there are times that we feel that we can't reach out to God. He is too far away to be connected to. And there are times that we don't have the words to say in prayer. You struggle to find the right words. There are times that we try to impress God And you can't do that. You can't try to impress the one who gave you knowledge with what he has given you. So we must dispense of the prepared speeches that we have for God and just come to him with your heart. Just be honest with God and say, Lord, I have failed you so miserably this week. I haven't talked to you since last Sunday. I haven't read the Holy Book since last Sunday. I haven't cried to you about a concerned brother since I've forgotten when. When we talk to God like that, he hears. Jesus once drew the parable about the Pharisee and the publican, both going into the temple. And the Pharisee, standing by the publican, looked at him in disdain, wondering, what on earth are you doing here? Then raised his eyes up to heaven, said, Lord, I'm so glad that I'm not like this man. I pay my tithes. I dress well. I present myself in the synagogue. I'm so glad I'm not like this man. But the publican, all that he could see was a need to give his life to God. And he so much as smote his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, who do you think that God listened to with those prayers? Was it the Pharisee or was it the publican? Would to God that in our days that we live in now, that we had more publicans than Pharisees. That our prayers were more designed to be in line with the publican than the Pharisee. Because when we are open to God, we give more to him and he gives more back to us. I wonder if we could lift our hands to the Lord and in our own way just show our appreciation to him for all that he has done for you, for the opportunity that he has given you, life. Your heart rate is beating at a normal rate because of God. You are able to see because of God. You are able to hear because of God. Do we thank him enough for the small things? Or are we too focused on big things? Hallelujah. Lord, I want to give you all today. Everything. Take all of me. Not just a part, but all of my heart. All of my heart. Not just a part, but all, hallelujah, of my heart. Hallelujah. Not just a part, but all of my heart. When we make that commitment today, the Lord will hear and the Lord will answer. Reverend Nathan. Hallelujah.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still.
Yes, yes, yes.
But to those who will trust and obey, trust
and obey,
for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
We thank God for His word today, and I believe the word has really confirmed this series, the real central focus of this series today. That in order for us to overcome the distance, then we have to not shy away from true repentance. Repentance is a word that in our modern church today is sometimes overlooked and even despised. But repentance, as we've heard today, is a good thing. When we can posture our hearts back to God and turn away from our sin and say with sincerity in our hearts, Father, forgive me, for I, no one else, not my brother, my sister, my mum, my dad, but I am a sinner. And I need your grace, I need your mercy, I need your forgiveness. We're going to draw this service to a close, but we're going to, worship team's going to join me. And as we prepare to close today, I want us individually just to search our hearts and offer prayers to God individually. If there's something that we need to just give to God before we leave, let's not leave today holding on to that baggage. Let's give it all to God today. He doesn't want us to have a silent relationship with Him, but He wants us to have a fruitful relationship with Him. But could it be that there's some things in the way, and like Nehemiah, we need to confess them to God. We need to confess them all to Him so that we can enjoy that right fellowship and relationship with Him. Amen. Worship team going to lead us as we sing when the music fades. Coming back to a heart of worship.
about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
It's all about you,
Jesus. It's all about you.
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 It's all about you,
Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As we leave today, the word of encouragement to us all, that if you're struggling to pray in this season of your life, the good news is, just like Nehemiah, that if you cry out to him with sincerity in your heart, then he will not only hear our prayers, but he will answer our prayers. He's not too far. He's not too far away. We would just reach out to him, and he promised to always be there. I want you to take that with you today and throughout the course of this week. And as we've heard today, let's all together make a commitment that this won't be the last time that we talk to God this week. But we'll talk to him on Monday. We'll have a chat with him on Tuesday.
Yes.
We'll have fellowship with him on Wednesday. We'll give him praise and honor on Thursday. We'll worship him some more on Friday. And on Saturday, we'll bask in his presence. And then when we meet again by the grace of God next Sunday, it won't be that we're trying to restart the fire, but that fire of continual worship and prayer will be evident in all of our hearts. And as we meet together, we'll just join together and make a wonderful sound to his name. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And on the subject of prayer, before we close, we're going into a season of prayer. This week, we're returning for our early morning prayer sessions. So if you can be with us, if you can spare some time, if you can spare one of the days this week, we're going to be praying from Tuesday to Friday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. So if you can meet one of those mornings, please meet us here. We're going to have a time of prayer, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Also look out, I believe the magazines have gone out. Our monthly evening prayer is returning this month as well. I think it's the third, is it the third week of the month, probably, or fourth week of the month? Thank you, Bev. So please join us for that as well. And there's other prayer opportunities as well. Please look out in the calendar. We want to be a praying church. Amen. God, you're not with me. We want to be a praying church.
Amen.
Amen. So let's continue to pray. All right, let's go to God in prayer as we close. Please do join us for teas and coffees and fellowship. And again, I'd love to meet you and shake your hand. Please don't rush off if you have to. I'll be on the door, and I want to get round to as much of you as I can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time of worship. We thank you so much for the challenging word that we've heard today. We thank you for your servant, Reverend David Gordon. We pray you continue to bless him and use him for your glory and for your service. And we pray, Lord, that we would take on board the word of the Lord today. That, Father, just like Nehemiah, regardless of what's broken, regardless of the walls that have come down and the gates that have been destroyed in our own lives, help us, Father, not to allow those problems to keep us distant from you, but help us, like Nehemiah, to reach out to you in prayer, knowing that you hear the fervent prayers of the righteous. We pray this week that you will just go before us and keep us safe. And again, we're praying for our children and our young people as they return to school this week. May they have a wonderful week learning more about the curriculum and also learning more about you. So Father, dismiss us now from this place, but never from your presence. And until we meet again by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please do join us for evening service today. It's our communion service this evening at 6:30. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Bless you.